Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back to Talk Today. Journal discussion, be a part of it. And if you take a contrary view, if you think, well, it doesn't really work, doesn't make sense, who knows? Or you may be seriously inclined to find out how we can make it better. Well, it is our discussion with the National Drug Council as part of the Alcohol Awareness Month. Changing attitudes, it's not a rite of passage. In the studio, Mr. Juno Barnett, joined by Ms. Louisa McLaughlin, and on the phone from the BRAC, Mrs. Julianne Scott. If I may ask, as we look at alcohol and drinking and the like, Ms. Louisa?
Sorry? Yes.
What would you like me to ask? Talk to me.
No. No, we are talking about the survey,
right? Yes,
right. Ma'am. And you were mentioning that, well, we just recently finished our 9th cycle. I'm working on it, but I could present some results from 2016. We got 2,982 students. That is around 80%, 85% of the total student population.
So almost 3,000 students.
Yeah. We have participation of most of the schools in 2016. Actually, all the schools, right? And the methodology that we use is self-administrated. Each student receives a questionnaire. We have two questionnaires, one for year 7 and 8, and one for 9 to 12. So each student receives a questionnaire. They don't need to put their names or school in order to know, identify them, and just respond the questions. Yes.
Okay. And basically, we just want information on what is happening. We don't really interested in student A or student B. Mm-hmm. We just want to know across the student population. Okay. Now, you said 7 and 8 and 9 through 12. Bear with me again. That's middle school and high school?
Yes.
What sort of ages you're looking
yes,
at?
Yes, I think we understand the necessity of split the questionnaire because of the type of questions, right? The 7 and 8 have less questions, right? And 9 to 12 have more questions.
So 14 to 18-year-olds for the 9 to 12?
11 to 12 is 7, 8, mm-hmm. and 13 to
okay.
17 is 9 to 12.
All right. Now, Mrs. Scott, when you look at the BRAC, I think sometimes many of us are, for whatever reason, you know, we're inclined to not pay attention until something hits us. We probably will even, with great respect, probably even dismiss that teenager in the BRAC or that teenager in Grand Cayman is a teenager in the Cayman Islands. Do you see that the youth on the BRAC having the same sort of concerns, being challenged with some of the same things that maybe their peers here or even their peers in the Western world facing when it comes to alcoholism?
Well, as Louisa was just saying, we do find that the BRAC and grad do share the same, obviously on a smaller scale, but they do face the same challenges with their peers and the community as well.
And I know most of us would quickly understand that, but for some of us, we think, well, smaller population, they don't have time, they don't have access, but perhaps because of that, Ms. Louisa, they may, end up abusing it more. Do we look at the rates of use or abuse within our population as alarming? Is it a critical, relative to global statistics and standards?
Yes, we ask about binge drinking, which means that you can have 5 drinks in one sit. That's binge drinking. And even though our students doesn't have that much, right? Well, actually, we ask binge drinking for students from 9 to 12, 35% of the students report binge drinking.
Wow.
So
35%?
Of the students, 9 to 12.
12, yeah.
It means year 9 to 12, so about 13 to 18 years old, report. So means a third of the population report binge drinking.
Now, this is a survey that you do every 2 years.
Yes, sir.
And in the 2016, for those who want to look at it, it's on your website, ndc.org?
No, .ky.
.ky, yeah.
ndc.ky.
I've looked at the... Share with us some of those results as you have there from the survey. The idea that... Well, share with us.
Yes, well, in our website you will find the comprehensive report, mm-hmm. and also some briefs, the briefs of alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, multi-substance use, and risk and protective factors. So for the results of 2016, and taking in consideration what we're talking about, that is alcohol, we can say that for students, the great majority of students in 9 to 12, 80% report having used alcohol at least once in their lifetime. 80%. Among students in year 7 to 8, we must say that is about 20%.
Wow. Now, in that, when we say use, I don't want to dismiss it. I don't want to sound casual. Is that a child taking a taste of, you know, or is it that they're consuming a certain quantity? Are we able to determine how that use is quantified?
Yeah, we don't take in consideration sips.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, at the Catholic Church, every week you have a sip of wine.
Okay. Right? Real wine?
Yes.
I wonder why my friends are going Catholic. I just can't. Do you know?
Is this it?
It's a special wine, right? But our kids use that type of wine. Mm. So we don't take in consideration sips.
Okay.
Because sometimes, by accidentally, some kids drink a sip of alcohol, so those are not taking consideration, and the survey make a clearly statement saying do not take in consideration a sip. It's mm-hmm. when you have a glass of or a bottle or a can okay. of alcohol.
Yeah. Ms. Scott, if I may ask you, just sort of being as a member of a community, and I can ask the same of our listeners who are perhaps sharing, and perhaps to Mr. Barnett and Ms. McLaughlin here, on the BRAC, as we go about our communities, are we seeing that our youth, that those under the age of majority, openly drinking, or is it something that they do with their friends out of sight of adults?
So what we're seeing over here is that in the older ages, when they're in years 11 and 12, they do tend to do it more openly. As they get closer to the legal age of 18 to be able to consume it. But for the younger ages, they're not publicly open with it.
Ms. Louisa, I mean, what about on Grand Cayman? Is it a similar experience?
Yes, definitely. As soon as you're reaching you're getting closer to the legal age of drinking, you see more kids using it openly.
And then some of those, well, Mr. Barnett.
The thing that I wanted to highlight here and mention especially is because since it is alcohol awareness theme, it's not a rite of passage. Definitely want to highlight the fact that, like, as you said, as they get closer to that legal age of being 18 here, especially, like, it's almost like a rite of passage for youth is once you turn 18, that's like a really big, like, blowout for drinking that, like, the day of that you turn 18 or the weekend that you turn 18 is then you're like, we're going to go out and we're going to drink really, really hard almost. And it's almost like just to celebrate the fact that now you're legal. And it's one of those things that's what Alcohol Awareness Month is trying to touch on, is that, you know, just because you're legal, that doesn't mean that you should try and harm yourself or endanger your life by doing this, because obviously, there is scientific proof that there's a link between the amount of drinks that you consume equaling a greater risk of injury after. Not just talking about road accidents or anything, but just injury or like tripping or cutting yourself, just harm in general. And there's a link to that.
Well, from that perspective, maybe if I can ask of you, some of us would quite quickly recall, but we hear that alcohol, you know, when you're inebriated in the lake, it will perhaps lower your inhibitions, it will affect your depth perception, and like perhaps remind us that this isn't something that is just innocent. It's something that, as Mr. Barnett said, could result in a higher probability of risk. Some of the things alcohol does in a way that affects us. and causes our behavior to be less than savory or otherwise?
Yes, absolutely. When you consume substances, especially alcohol, your brain doesn't operate the same thing, right? So that's what is important to take in consideration, this awareness and prevention material and information that we are gathering in the National Drug Council to inform you about the consequences, not only in your body or as an individual, but also as a society, right? Because you are making a choice of drinking, but you have to take in consideration that you are not going to affect only yourself or your family, but also a community.
All right. If I may ask then, and only if you wish to find it pertinent in this discussion, in the Cayman Islands, I believe the legal age to consume alcohol is 18.
Yes, sir.
We know some other places have it. Is that something that potentially, at that age, you're still 18, you're a teenager, is that something that potentially contributing to the drinking propensity amongst our youth? Or I could rephrase it, what if anything we could do that maybe would reduce the drinking propensity?
Okay. So things that could help, like, reduce alcohol drinking in general. They've noted in many scientific studies that the earlier you start drinking, the more, the higher a percentage of consumption issues that you may have later in life. Now, one thing that I always like to highlight when I talk about this is it's a percentage. It doesn't mean a lot of people try to, when they hear it, they think, so you're saying that if I drink this from this age, then for sure I'm going to have an issue. And I'm saying, no, that's not the thing. I'm saying it's a higher percentage. So that means that the chance of it happening is higher for you. Now, there are areas, of course, that can help to reduce alcohol drinking in general. And one of them was to raise the minimum age to buy and sell alcohol. And linked to that, of course, would be there needs to be better supervision for that. So, although you were asking about the age of 18 being the age, for instance, in the States, 21 is their legal age, and yet they still have a very high issue of problems on, like, college campuses. And, you know, they're not turning 21 yet, but they're having a lot of house parties, they're getting their alcohol still, and there's a lot of issues coming with that. So it does seem that although you could raise the age, and they have, I think it's the highest age limit in any country in the world being 21, it has to be better supervised. So there has to be a hand-in-hand correlation to it. So, like I said, you could totally increase the age, but then you have to make sure that the supervision with that comes along as well.
So restricted laws and things like that. Yeah.
Access, then, is an issue. If I could ask, as we speak into Juno Barnett and Louisa McLaughlin, and join us from the back on the phone, Ms. Julia Scott. A question that I would like to ask after a break. How accessible, and we talked about it early in the homes, but just generally speaking, how accessible do we think or know alcohol is for our youth, for those on the, you know, being able to buy, sell, and access alcohol? When we come back, we'll have that answer. Stay tuned for Talk Today.
Accidents can happen at any time and can leave a strain on you and your family. Be prepared with Workman's Compensation Insurance from Fidelity Insurance. Our brokers can help you meet your government requirements and ensure that you are covered should an accident happen. Don't leave it to chance. Email Fidelity Insurance at insure@fidelitycayman.com for a free quote. Get Workman's Compensation from Fidelity Insurance and get some peace of mind. Fidelity, we're good for you.
The time is now. The speed is here. Join the mobile revolution with Flow 4G LTE. Island-wide 4G LTE coverage, clear streaming, super-fast downloads, and amazing call experience on the Flow mobile network, proven to be Cayman's best by an independent report. Choose from a range of LTE-ready smartphones from as low as $65. Or, if you're already smartphone-equipped, get your free Flow LTE SIM. Coverage, value, speed. Flow 4G LTE. Always connected, always faster. Visit discoverflow.ky. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back to Talk Today. 949-8037 or 949-6990. in the studio as we're talking about Alcohol Awareness Month from the National Drug Council, Mr. Juno Barnett, Miss Juliana. Mrs. Juliana. I always say Mrs. Juliana Scott. Miss Scott, you're going to forgive me. I get there.
No problem.
All right, Miss Louisa McLaughlin. Well, thank you so much. Now, we do have a caller online. So, Miss Susan, when you relate to technology, let's join that caller. Hey, good afternoon. You're on Talk Today.
Hi, good afternoon to you once again, Mr. Moderator, and to all of your guests.
And to you, sir. Good afternoon.
Very interesting topic, and I would like to chime in as well. I'm calling from the BRAC. Where it's very real here, the abuse of alcohol and alcoholism, bearing in mind that there is a difference. And this is very personal to me. I think everybody who knows me in this small community, because that's the disadvantage of living in a very tiny community. When you buck your toe, everybody knows you just buck your toe. But I find that we live in a culture where some parents are allowing their minors to consume alcohol at younger ages. And coming from this standpoint, their view is, if I allow my child to have a drink in my presence, they won't sneakily do it behind my back. So we have this to deal with as well, coupled with the fact that young people are drinking at younger ages. And there's an organization called BAMA, the acronym B-A-A-M, which is BRAC Against Alcohol Misuse. Now, they're working tirelessly to try and get the education out there to the dangers of alcoholism and the dangers of starting at a young age. But the truth must be told. We must call an ace and a spade. Young people on the BRAC in the Cayman Islands are drinking at younger ages, and young people are involved as young as school age in the selling of illegal contraband. Now, that's the truth. What sayest thou?
All right. Young people are drinking, I call this is. Now, I want to ask a particular question and sort of mic drop, but that was the pun to put the pun there. The appeal, the lure sometimes of some drinks, I call them the sweeter taste in drinks. You were sharing earlier, could that be part of the marketing ploy, the lure that, how do we put it, you know, sneakiness that sometimes the young people will taste this thing and it, oh well, you know, don't realize that it's alcohol and heavily alcohol content?
Yes, definitely. And what the call was mentioning is true, right? We are seeing starting the consumption of alcohol at a very, very early stages, and parents, right, are promoting these kind of behaviors. What you mentioned is completely true. These substances or these liquors that have these fruit substances make it more attractive for the kids, right? Because it's sweet, it doesn't have that much alcohol, but over the time, you will start to change for harder liquors. And that is how it becomes a problem, right? We were saying that, Juno was mentioning that the early that you consume, the probability to get into those substances, addictions mainly, is very high.
Now, perhaps then as parents, we're looking at that and not necessarily understanding sufficiently what we may be doing to our children. I come back to parents.
Yes. Parents believe that just with a sip, they are doing a favor to the kids, right? Saying, okay, I prefer him to drink that I introduce into the substances and not with a friend or in the streets or whatever, right? However, you are approving some kind of behaviors, right? And it's where, once again, we're talking about to be a sample in your house. If you don't want your kid to do something, you have to be the first example.
Now, if I may ask, and I'm just thinking financially, you know, or we may be inclined to buy some things because they're cheaper. That's what our budget allows. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be disparaging, but when we're looking at alcohol, generally speaking, and we're seeing that beer is the one that our youth are probably, well, you said, beer are using more. Is that because it's cheaper? Is it cheaper because it's more readily available? I mean, because it's more available. What is it that is driving us? Do you know?
For this one, it's not just here in the Cayman Islands, but it's also in our region of Latin America, the Caribbean, that they've noticed that bears the most link to accidents, road accidents as well, throughout the region, and linked to accidents in general that they see coming to the hospitals and whatnot when it's alcohol-related. They think the reason why is because, as you said, it's easier. It's easier accessed. It's easily available. And also, a lot of people don't think that, you know, a beer will hurt them because it's of a lighter alcohol percentage. Because they're like, okay, one or two beers, that's not even anything. It's what, 3%, 4%, 5% tops. Yeah, so they're not thinking about that. Like, okay, this is definitely not like having a glass of rum or vodka or whiskey, which is like 40%, 50%, 60% alcohol. And I think that that is where the sneakiness of the alcohol kind of gets you. And I call it the sneakiness because it's, yeah, it does have this effect on your brain, on your body, where it's just like it's starting to depress these your inhibitions and your mental alertness and also your mobility with your muscles and whatnot. So it's still just getting into, but it's very slow and nice and relaxing, almost with a beer than it is like with a hard liquor. Because most people will tell you, like, if I took a shot, you're just like, oh, it hurts so much. But if you're drinking a beer, you're like, oh, that's nothing. But yet the unit of alcohol that they measure for anything is one can or one glass, which is 12 ounces of beer, is the same as one shot of 40% or higher alcohol, same as 8 to 12 ounces of a wine.
Okay, you use the word unit, and I was going to ask about that. Perhaps as a populace, and maybe even as adults, we're having a drink, we're at dinner, perhaps we're trying to be responsible. Are we sufficiently knowledgeable and informed that if we have this glass, mm-hmm, or this can or this whatever, that's equivalent to these things? And I'm looking at it from two perspectives. Serving sizes, we buy something sweet and we eat the whole package, but that's four servings. On some alcoholic beverages, I'm seeing that this is equivalent to 2 units or 1.5 units or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
That impact that it's having on us, that one beer is equal to X.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, as they're saying. A lot of people, they don't think about that. For instance, like if you have like a pint of beer, for instance, that's like 3 units almost, which is a pint, because it's 12 ounces, but a pint is like, give or take, a couple, like a
16 almost, ounces,
yeah,
or
24 ounces, which is like 2 units almost, depending upon the size of the pint and the size of the glass that you're having. Same thing with a mixed drink. Being, if you're not having just like a shot, by the way, it's an ounce. It's 1 ounce of the alcohol. But here we might not measure it out in the full ounce. We might just free pour in a bunch before, and then we top it off with whatever we're mixing it with. So then you're not really seeing, like, you're like, oh yeah, I had one mixed drink, but then you're not seeing, like, yeah, but inside that mixed drink there's like 3-4 units of alcohol.
Yeah, I saw something way back when as part of the education initiative. And the presenter tried to talk about, you know, comparative analysis, and, you know, there's this glass or cup or whatever it was, and it was just one drink, but it was enough to hold a six pack or a bottle or whatever. I don't remember the graphic, but this one container, yeah, you only had that, but it was the equivalent to, you know, you having a case, and it wasn't that much. So knowing our sizes, knowing perhaps the circumstance, our age, our health, whether we're in the sun, what we eat, those things can affect our sobriety as well.
Yes, absolutely. I think it we need to focus more in those education components, because what you're saying is absolutely right, right? People don't know how much they are drinking. And how many units of alcohol they are taking in one sit, right?
Okay.
As you say, you're drinking cocktails, but you really don't know how much you are drinking. So I think education in that part is necessary.
Right. Well, perhaps, you know, certainly it would be more welcoming to have you come back, as we not only look at the results from this year's census. But in closing, perhaps, Ms. Scott, if I could maybe start with you first. Just generally speaking, but with great respect specifically for our listeners on the BRAC, what would you like them to know relative to being, you know, Alcohol Awareness Month and responsible in our actions, especially when it comes to our youth? Hello, Ms. Scott?
Just like you were saying, the model for this is that it's not a rite of passage. It's not something that you should feel like you have to do, even if you're of age to do it. And it's something that you should be responsible when you're doing it, especially when you're of age. And if you're not of age, then it's best to not be influenced to get into those various things.
Indeed, indeed. Mr. Barnett?
For us, I would like to highlight just if you're a parent and you have kids in your household, start having conversations with them. Doesn't matter. Like, obviously, a lot of people are like, well, if I try to talk to my teenager now, it's like they just tune me out. And one of the things that they always highlight is that the younger you start with them, the better off it is. Have conversations when they're younger. Let them know that this is, you know, something that you do as an adult. Just talk to them. And as they get older, keep talking about it. You can start expanding because, you know, they have better brain capabilities and understanding as they get older. So, like, and when you have a teenager, speaking about the responsibility of it and knowing that, like, okay, you're going to turn 18, you're probably going to go out. At the same time, you got to do it responsibly. You got to make sure that you have a designated driver. You got to make sure that you're not going out to, like, just get over, like, that's not your idea, is to get overly drunk or anything like that. So I think having these conversations as parents with your kids, and then on top of that, having the education in school, it really kind of helps to cement the idea in students' brains that are like, so they understand what's going on and they can remain happy and safe.
Indeed, safe. That's it. Ms. Louisa?
Yes. If you don't know how to talk to your kids, right, we have a lot of information in our website. Once again, it's www.ndc.ky. You can visit our offices where we have a lot of brochures that will help you to educate yourself, and it will also give you an idea how to talk to the kids about these substances. Not only alcohol, but other substances.
Well, if I may share, and closer, looking at what this comment came through, this person writes, you know, as a quick paraphrase, I talk to my children about drugs of all sorts, but I also talk to them about foods, so they have healthy, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. eating habits. But also sodas and sugar content. And I think the part that I like of this, what this individual is saying, is that you have, as I think Jim said, have conversations with your children so they make healthy choices about everything. Mm. And alcohol and other drugs shouldn't be excluded.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're already having these conversations about making healthy choices, about what they eat, about what they drink, about the exercise that they're getting, and have that conversation put in with the drugs and the alcohol as well, like letting them know, like, these are substances that could harm you in your healthy growth. So yeah. Just like, you can put it in as that, and that way it doesn't seem like you're bringing up this taboo subject. It's just part of what you already told them anyway.
Healthy choices. Exactly. As Mrs. Scott shared, you know, talking to us as... so we'd be informed and making us aware of the choices. Thank each of you, Mrs. Scott. Thank you so much, too, for joining us. And sorry that we couldn't fly you over here in a comfortable cameraman's jet or you know, otherwise. But maybe next time, huh?
Maybe next time, yes.
But thank you for sitting in. Have a wonderful week, Mom.
You too.
All right. Ms. McLaughlin and Mr. Barnett, thank you very, very much. Looking forward to the results of this year's census.
CISDAS.
Cayman's Drug Use, National Drug Use Survey?
Cayman Island Student Drug Use Survey.
Yeah, Susan said CISDAS.
No,
I love it. This is Shehab, just that wonderful laugh that's put you at ease. Thank you, man. That intellect is incredible. I thank you so, so much. And hopefully as parents, not just as policymakers, but we start to pay attention to how these conversations with our children and making them aware that they want to be, as Juno said, safe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, if we're going to do things, let's make sure we do it to help us, not to hinder us. To our listeners, join us tomorrow for more Talk Today after the midday news and midday meditation. We have the Business Buzz in the morning, so please be a part of that as Radio Cayman endeavors always to involve, inform, and entertain you. I always tell you, if you're looking for a song and you're not even sure, you hum it along, Susan, the problem, no. So test her. I think she is has a wealth of knowledge. She's the Susanpedia. She knows the stuff. Until tomorrow, be blessed.
that talk, sit back, relax. Easy listening on the way. You're listening to Susan on the PM Show, Radio K-Man. I found...